Hello everyone. It is currently about 10 to 2 in the morning. I should be sleeping, but I'm unable to sleep tonight. So I figured I'd get some work done leading up to my break. So here we have another spotlight. This is number 7 in the series, and it's for Your Hot Neighbor Likes Deflowering Nerds, I believe is the title. I should fact check that, but it's 2 o'clock in the morning and y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so this is another audio in my catalog that has crossed the 10K mark on Soundgasm. But as of this morning, it's actually crossed the 15K mark on Soundgasm. So 15,000 play count, which is now officially my highest audio in my entire catalog, which is pretty amazing considering this audio has been around, as of this moment, less than 2 weeks. Pretty epic. This audio actually crossed the 10K mark within 4 days of posting. So I posted it on a Friday night, and by Monday night it crossed 10,000, 10,000 play count. So, just crazy numbers on this one. The funny part is it's a 45-minute audio. That's the part that I just shake my head at. When I first started doing this, and actually before that, I was told that audio should be about 20 minutes. That's about right, 20, 25 minutes. Because really, who has time for anything longer than that was the argument I was given. And well, anyway, that's listened to my stuff knows that that rule kind of went out the window. And now my best performing audio is a 45-minute audio. So thank you guys for that. I appreciate that so much. So the story behind this one, there isn't really anything mysterious to tell. Justin Sidermouth is the writer. I can't believe I didn't mention that. We're like 2.5 minutes in. Sorry, Justin, I didn't even think to mention that. Wow, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Justin Sidermouth is the writer on this one. Terrific scriptwriter. I've filled a number of his scripts, pretty much everyone he's actually written at this point. And this was the second script that he had written, second script of his that I had filled. And this one came about after Spoiled Sub, which was the first one of his that I did. So the I guess I can tell the story of how Justin approached me originally to fill Spoiled Sub, because it kind of leads into this one. He actually approached me through my anonymous form, which was kind of funny. He was very tentative and respectful, and just sent me a lovely message through the anonymous form and the link to the script. And just said, I'd love for you to take a look. It's, in line with some of the other content that you've done. And, no pressure, just here it is. Little did he know, I had already actually saved the script that he had sent, Spoiled Sub. But I was waiting to record it because there was already another fill by a fairly well-known GWA performer, one of my favorites actually. So I didn't want to go anywhere near it. But I did have it saved, and it was something that I was planning on doing. So it was kind of funny that he sent it to me. So I reached out and I said, thank you for reaching out, for sending me the link. I do plan to do this. I think by the time I responded to him, I had actually recorded it. And it was just waiting in the queue for timing and editing and what have you. So that was the start of it. Not too long later, I received a message from him again, this time in the DMs, where he sent me the link to Hot Neighbor, this one. The funny part about that one was when I opened the message, so I didn't get to open it as soon as he sent it. I had to wait. I was busy that day. By the time I opened it, it had already been filled. Somebody had already filled it. So at that point, I kind of wondered, was he trolling me? Was he just sending this out to everybody in the hopes of getting a fill? Like, what was going on here? So I just kind of sent back a message and said, you know, congratulations on the fill. It's a great script. Thanks. Because I wasn't sure what was happening. And he sent back this message that just basically said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was being filled already. Da 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 da. So it was a complete timing issue. So I put the script in my pile because it is a terrific script, as we know now, and just sort of sat on it because, you know, as we all know, my philosophy is I don't post that close to another fill if I can help it. So that was kind of how this one came about. I waited quite a bit of time on this one because I believe there was two other fills on it, and one of them just blew the roof off the place, and I didn't want to go anywhere near it. I'm not going to go up against a behemoth like that. I'm not going to, nope. Not that it's a competition. I just, in my own mind, you know, there's already one that's grossly popular, you know, that people are responding to. I would rather just stay away from that and give my audio its own time, another time. So that's what I did. I waited on it. And the time finally came to release it, and when I put it out that night, it exploded, just completely exploded. The first night, the numbers were just crazy. Like, the upvotes and the comments and the DMs and my anonymous form just went off the charts. I don't think I've ever received so many anonymous forms in one night for a single audio, ever. It was just crazy what was coming in. And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, like, it's a 45-minute audio. So it was pretty intense how that all happened. The momentum on it did not seem to slow. It just kept going. Like, over the course of the weekend, like I said, it was a Friday audio. So over the course of the weekend, the comments and such just kept coming. And I thought, you know, this is a really special audio. It's really resonating with people. People are really loving it. They're really connecting with it, especially because of all the messages and things that I had been receiving. You know, just lovely, lovely things about the stories that, you know, that I was being told, and the feelings that it was evoking in people, and the way they were able to relate to it, or the way it was able to cancel out a bad experience in their minds, by giving them something positive to focus on in that, that arena. You know, these were all wonderful things that I was hearing, and still do. I mean, I literally just got a message about this audio today, 2 weeks later, almost 2 weeks later. So this is the impact that this audio has had. In terms of the audio itself, there's not really, you know, performance-wise, it's pretty down the middle in terms of what it required from me. I will say there is a lot of me in this audio. I do apologize, I'm losing my voice. This is part of the reason I'm taking a break, because my voice is very, very overused and strained right now, and I've actually been given shit by certain professionals for overdoing it. So I do apologize if I sound a little crappy right now. So there is a lot of me in this audio, because there is a certain point where you draw a line as a performer of what's a performance and what is genuinely you. And I leave a little bit of me on the table every time I perform. No matter what I'm performing, whether it's music, whether it's a play, whether it's an audio, whether it's whatever the case may be, there's always something of me left behind, because that's just my approach to it. This one of the things I felt I could bring to the table was the compassion and the genuine caring that it evoked in me. As the performer, as the person reading this, I actually wanted to take care of the listener. And that was a testament to the writing. You know, the writing made me actually care about this listener character, who wasn't really a character, but was, if that makes sense. This whole this whole experience centered around this listener character who is just a theoretical piece to this puzzle. This character has no shape, no form, no substance, technically, in the grand scheme of things, but it's someone that I wanted to care about. I wanted to make that experience special for them. And ultimately, that means for all of you. So I really was able to tap into that, and I think it really came through in the performance that this was something that meant something to me. It was important to me to do this right. I've heard so many stories, especially since the audio was released, and actually knowing, you know, stories prior to the May I series brought out a lot of this type of series or story as well, sorry, of, you know, individuals that were pressured into their first time, or they felt stigmatized because they were still virgins, or, you know, things like this. And I wanted to put this audio out into the world that took away some of that, that took away some of that negative attitude toward being a virgin, toward the choice to be a virgin, toward the circumstances that led you to being a virgin, whatever the case may be. There's nothing wrong with virginity. There's nothing wrong with waiting. There's nothing wrong with any of this. And unfortunately, it's so stigmatized in our society today, particularly for men. I wanted to just lead us all away from that and give this calm, reassuring audio that anybody could listen to and go, yes, this is how it should be. And that was kind of what I wanted the performance to convey. So, thankfully, my job was easier because the script was written in such a way that that's exactly what it was. This whole audio was created based on a script that got it, you know? And this writer, Justin, he understood exactly where this listener character was coming from, and the delicate touch that the female character, my character, needed to have to guide him through this experience in a positive way, and just have that check-in, that consent, that reassurance every step of the way, because that's the part that makes it stand out. That's the part that differentiates it from just another virgin porn audio to a story, an actual piece of art. And I'm sorry, this is what we do. It's art that could actually help someone. Could actually provide reassurance for someone, could actually, you know, give them that bright spot surrounding something that could otherwise not be bright for them. You know, Justin seemed to realize that and recognize that this is such a vulnerable time for this person, for this listener character. And in general, I mean, sex is vulnerable no matter what, right? I mean, no matter what you're doing, it's a vulnerable time. You are opening yourself in some way to another person, whether it's your first time or not, your first time being even that much more so. And he just understood that. And he wrote it in such a way that this character was there every step of the way to alleviate some of that fear, some of that discomfort, to make that vulnerability okay, to make it safe. And that was one of the most beautiful parts about the script. So, combining a well-written script that was not condescending, because that's the other thing, when you get into this type of thing, you can be, you know, just slapped upside the head with condescension if you're not careful. You know, because it can sound like you're talking down to the listener in that situation. We don't want to do that. I mean, nobody wants that. That's crap. Justin didn't do that. He basically just surrounded the listener in safety and allowed me to do that through his script. So we've got this script that just gets it. And then I was able to bring something of myself to the table, which was awesome. And tie it all together in this neat little 45-minute bow. package with a bow, sorry. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Jesus. That, you know, just did the job. The other thing that I liked about this script was, and I believe I've said it before, Justin is a performer's writer. And what I mean by that is when he's crafting a script, he has the performer front of mind. You can see it in the writing, you can see it in the way he's crafting the scene, you can see it in the direction that he provides, and the way he provides it. So he understands that we're out there, we're putting ourselves out there. And it's kind of an interesting parallel with what's going on in the audio itself in this case. It's kind of, not a parallel I would draw just necessarily any time, but this kind of fits. So he understands that we're putting ourselves out there when we're performing these things. We're the ones who are vulnerable, we're the ones that are taking the risks, we're the ones that are in these positions. So he's doing his best as a writer to give us that reassurance, to give us that safety, to give us every support he can through this script, which is amazing. Prime example of that is there's a couple of sections in this script that he says you can either improv, or if you're not comfortable with that, there's a scripted section. So basically, he's saying, do you, if you want, here, have at it, or if that's not going to work for you, I've helped you with this. It's pretty cool. It's nice as a performer when you decide to take the chance of doing improv in the middle of a script, which is not always a wise choice, I'll be honest. You've decided to take this chance on doing an improv inside of somebody else's written work, because that's the other thing. Improv is one thing. When it's front to back, your work, you started it, you conceptualized it, it's all yours. But when you're improving in the middle of somebody else's script, it's that much harder because you have somebody else's flow that you're trying to maintain. So it's really nice that, he gave us the opportunity to stretch and to play like that. But at the same time, he was like, okay, if you fall on your face, basically, and that's not how he would put it, but as a performer looking at it myself, that was my thought. If you fall on your face, here, I'll bail you out. Here's the scripted piece that will bring you back into the story where you need to be and not disrupt the flow of the audio. So it was that safety net, which means when I was going to improv, because I did improv a bit in this, quite a bit in those two scenes, or those two sections of the scene, I could do so almost with an abandon because I didn't worry about it. I knew that if I got too far off the beaten path, if I got too far out in left field, that script was sitting there to bring me back. That no matter what I did, I could just go back to the script and it would guide me back to the story and I'd be fine. That reassurance, that guidance, that care toward the performer isn't something you find in every script. Not every writer does that. Not every writer thinks to do that. And that's a stylistic choice. That's a choice that Justin makes. And it's one that, as a performer, I appreciate because it allows me to take more risks. It allows me to be more comfortable going for that improv. I probably wouldn't have gone as far with the improv in this one as I did without having that safety net there. So, having a writer have your back like that, basically, is pretty epic. And that was one of my favorite things about the script, was just that it was written with the performer in mind. And that's how he tends to do things. If you look at all of his work, that seems to be a pattern. And I say that having filled pretty much everything he's written. Is that actually a thing? I think that's actually a thing. To be fair, he hasn't written a whole lot yet. He's still fairly new on the scene, so that makes me feel a little bit better, but still. So yeah. But if you look at the way the script is crafted, you can see a genuine concern for the performer in it. And it's nice to see, because it's not always the case. So just a little heads up on the stylistic choices that were made here that made the audio that much easier to perform and that much more fun. Because like I said, taking risks like that is a lot easier when you know you've got a safety net under you, where the writer's basically waiting for you to bomb and they're gonna pick you up and keep you going. So that was pretty epic. Other than that, I don't think there's anything else really to cover with this one. There was no major really, effects or anything. This was a pretty straightforward audio. There were some keyboard sounds and stuff, typical sex noises, whatever, but nothing out of the ordinary, I don't think. It was just really fucking long. That was the main thing about this one. And the fact that it resonated so heavily with so many people. That was just incredible, the stories and such that I mentioned. If you do get a chance to check out the script, please do. I say this in every spotlight and I will continue to say it. Please read the scripts. These writers do such an amazing job for us. I read the scripts like they're going out of style because that's what I do. But I firmly encourage everybody to just check out the scripts. If you're, on the fence about whether you want to be a writer or whether you want to be a performer, check out some of these scripts. They may help you make that decision. I've gotten messages recently from people that are like, yeah, I've started writing because of, so and so stuff or because of something you did. These are the most amazing things that we can hear in this community is that something we've done has inspired somebody to write or to perform or, to explore their creativity. And actually, funny enough, on the last spotlight that I did, which was also Justin's script, he seems to be just on a roll right now. That was a comment he made about his motivation for doing this, and that I had something to do with that, which I hesitate to talk about that because it feels like tooting my own horn, which I absolutely hate doing. But as a creator, as a performer, as an artist myself, I understand where motivation comes from, and it can come from anywhere. And it's a huge, huge honor and a huge, huge privilege when somebody tells you that you're part of that motivation. So, if you're looking for that motivation, if you're looking for something to drive you or to maybe spark something, these scripts are a great place to start. Just because they're so well done. These writers that I have the privilege of working with are so, so, so talented. Justin, being on that list, I've given this list before. We've got True Garden, we've got Utter Bun, we've got My Oral Fixation, Sandy Stockings. Who else is on this list? Everybody's on this list that I fill for regularly. These guys and girls and people are just phenomenal. And, check out their scripts and you'll see why. Don't listen to me do hack jobs on their work. Actually read the words on the page. Look at how they're put together, how they're formulated, how they're structured, because that's where the magic is. So please, if you're, on the fence, if you're looking for any kind of inspiration, I encourage anybody to check it out. That's my public service announcement for today, by the way. This is apparently what I do at now 20 after 2 in the morning. So here we are. I'm gonna wrap it up here, but Justin, my friend, thank you for a wonderful script, another wonderful script. I know we've got a couple of things planned in the pipeline still to come. Jeez. And I'm looking forward to what else we're gonna get to share with the community because I know there's some good stuff coming. So thank you everyone, and I'll talk to y'all soon.